Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Flyer Buzz here on Flyers Radio 24/7. I'm Brian Smith, joined by Bill Meltzer as the Philadelphia Flyers head into the final 2 weeks of the 2017-18 season. And Bill, it's kind of crazy to think that it's already gone by, but at the same time, everybody's eager for the playoff season, and the Flyers are trying their best to wrap things up as quickly as they possibly can in terms of clinching a playoff spot. But all these other teams in the Eastern Conference keep winning, and they keep making it more difficult for the Flyers to do so. But we sit here now with the team on its final road trip of the season. Last two Western Conference games of the year involved here, and then they come home for what, in terms of opponents, could be a relatively easy final week of the season. Let's talk a little bit about where the Flyers stand now before we move on to what's to come here. The team obviously went through that long skid, 1-6-1 there for a while, and now have points in four of their last five games. But what are your thoughts on how this team is playing overall, and you know what looks good? What's room for improvement at this moment?
I think that the team overall has gotten back on the right track. You know, there were a lot of points that were in the team's grasp that were slipping away in the early part of the month. And the Flyers are still feeling the effects of that. You can't look back and say, okay, well, if there are three more points, look where they'd be or whatever. But I think the team has done a good job of putting behind them, you know, some pretty disappointing outcomes and, stepping up, thinking back to the game against Carolina, coming back in the third period, the way they played against Washington, and then the Detroit game was definitely a letdown. That was not a very complete effort. The game against the Rangers, the Flyers, the bottom line on that one was it might not have been the most evenly played of 60 minutes the Flyers have had. It was a little up and down, but the Flyers never trailed in that game, and they did find a way to close it out. I mean, you know, this time of year, there's no moral victories. There's only you got points or you didn't get points. And then the game against the game against the Penguins was a typical Flyers-Penguins game. Unfortunately, the outcome didn't work the Flyers' way, but to come away with a point from it was huge for the club.
When you look at this overall last few games, the Flyers have again been in a situation where they've used both goaltenders in several games. They've still got two goaltenders on the shelf, both well enough to travel with the team on this trip, but not back to play yet. What's your overall take on the Flyers' goaltending situation right now, just in terms of what they are, what they have to deal with here for the rest of this season, and what might come their way come the playoffs?
Well, I mean, we have to be honest here. It's definitely a patchwork situation right now. First of all, huge credit goes out to Alex Lyon, particularly for the level of competitiveness he's shown. You know, he stepped up with some really big games, but Alex Lyon is still a young, untested goaltender. It's a hard situation for him to be in. Peter Mrazek played well in his early game. Since then, he's been very inconsistent. He's had pretty much a goal in most of the games he's been in where he probably would have liked to have had back. The team defense needs to be better in front of these guys. And when Michael Neuwirth and or Brian Elliott come back, and it sounds like Michael Neuwirth would be the first one available between the two, getting them into a game or two and seeing how they fare will be important. We both know the capabilities of those guys. We also know some of the inconsistency where Michael Neuwirth is involved. So it's very much touch and go. I mean, we say it with injuries, but it's a day-to-day kind of thing. And every game, every matchup presents a new circumstance. I mean, it's not the situation you want to find yourself in this time of year. You like to know who your goalie is going to be. You like to know who your second guy to turn to will be. But, I think that's just not the case right now. And what will also be interesting will be when the Flyers do get one of the other goaltenders, either Neuwirth and or Elliott, available. The team will either have to use one of its two remaining full call-ups on Alex Lyon, or he'd have to be returned to the Phantoms because he's been on emergency call up all this time. So there's a lot of decisions facing the team. It's not an easy decision.
I have to wonder, just from the last couple of seasons, what have you seen from Alex Lyon at the American League level that, obviously he has had certain stretches there where he has been able to take the ball and run with it for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. He did not get a chance to do that in the playoffs last year, though, because both he and Anthony Stolarz were injured in the final week or so of the season. But, he certainly has shown at the American League level that he can be consistent night in and night out. And, I'm wondering if perhaps maybe the game against Pittsburgh might have not been one of his final growing pains, if you will, adjustments to the NHL level, or, is that something that is going to take more time?
Well, I think it's always something that takes some time, and nothing intimidates Alex. So I think his competitiveness is one of his best traits. He will fight. He'll fight for a save. Sometimes Alex will come as he's, he'll be out of position on a save, and it won't look like he'll get to it, and he'll find a way to stop the puck. That's the bottom line. With a young goalie, I think that it's always, you always are a little bit leery until there's a little bit more of a track record. With the Phantoms, as you said, there were stretches where Alex has been lights out for weeks at a time. There's also been a little bit of inconsistencies and growing pains along the way. It would be nice if you say he's over the hump and, he's at the level of a veteran goalie right now. I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case, but I'll also say that every time that every time that his number is called and he goes out there, you get everything out of him possibly can. He's very mentally tough. That even if there is one that gets past him that he's not very happy with, he'll be there and battling for the next save right after that. And you need that mentality too. Sometimes we've seen that with in a veteran version. We see that sometimes with Brian Elliott, where maybe there'll be one maybe he would think he should have stopped, but on the next chance he'll be there coming at you twice as hard. So that's definitely the right mentality for a player, especially this time of year.
So the Flyers are going to take on a Dallas Stars team here that has not been doing well. Eight losses in a row now for this team. They were in playoff contention before this started. They have all but seen that disappear from their grasp now. But this is a situation that the Flyers also went into Detroit last week against a Red Wings team that had lost 10 in a row. And, Detroit snapped that streak against the Flyers. What do you know about this Dallas team? And, what are some of the things the Flyers need to do to avoid a similar fate in the contest there?
Well, it's funny. Where Dallas is concerned, they had been a team who, for a number of years, they were a team that tried to outscore their mistakes. If they had to try to win the games like 5-4 and 4-3, they weren't getting the team defense and goaltending. This year, Ken Hitchcock has come in, and anybody who's familiar with a Ken Hitchcock kind of team, it puts an emphasis on defense, and a lot of that has been cleaned up. Now, particularly lately, they've had the opposite problem. They can't score. Outside of Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. It's been the top line or Radulov for that matter, but it's been outside of their top three guys. They're having trouble putting pucks in the net. They haven't been getting great goaltending of late either from Kari Lehtinen, who's had his issues over the years against the Flyers. But if you look at the Dallas team on paper, they're a deep team. They're a team that you would have thought would have been a playoff team this year, and they were solidly in playoff position a couple of weeks ago. They've just been in a terrible tailspin lately. They've had games. I liken their stretch run a little bit to where the Flyers were before a week or so ago, where there were a lot of games in there where the Stars looked like they were the better team for a lot of stretches of the game. And, just for whatever reason, there'd be a bounce of the puck. There would be an ill-timed penalty. There'd be something. And then it started to get, I think, in the team's heads a little bit. There was a game last week against Boston where, the Stars really had a win in hand, and it slipped through their fingers, And then there was a late goal against. They lose the game. And then, the real disappointment, I think, from Dallas's perspective is the game they had against Vancouver because, you know, that was a little bit of where the Flyers went to Detroit, and the Flyers had to scramble in the third period to get a point out of it, and really could have had two. You know, Dallas never got it going, and they lost pretty handily to a Vancouver team that's really heading nowhere late this season. So, you know, this is now or never for the Stars. If they're going to make a move to get back into a playoff push, they can't afford any more losses. You know, they've been overall pretty tough in their building. The American Airlines Center is a pretty tough building to play in. So the Flyers are going to have to play a much better game than they played in that game against Detroit, you know, to come away. They're gonna need a really solid game. Dallas, like I said, has been in a mode where they're waiting for bad things to happen sometimes, it seems like. If the Flyers play a smart game, they can make that happen. But, you know, I would expect the first 10 minutes of the game, Dallas is going to come out with a lot of ferocity against the Flyers, and they have a lot of speed and skill in that team too. So the Flyers have to be, you know, on their game.
So looking ahead here again, a situation this week where a couple of tough road games, teams that are playing for playoff position, then a home game against a Boston Bruins team that's one of the best in the Eastern Conference. Then the Flyers can conclude the season with three games that we thought might be, you know, crucial to playoff positioning for the overall Eastern Conference, but as it turns out, they're going to be against three teams that aren't in the playoffs. How do you see things progressing here for the Flyers over the final 2 weeks of the season, given that right now, you know, in the magic number territory, the number is 12, but it's over the New Jersey Devils, even though they're in eighth place because Florida's got so many games in hand that could change tonight. But I would certainly want to see the Flyers get things done sooner rather than later, but they may find themselves relying on getting things done against some of those teams out of the playoffs to solidify a spot.
Yeah, and that can be, you know, that's kind of a mixed blessing, like with Dallas just losing to Vancouver and the Flyers, I mean,
they're going to be mad,
getting 2 points against Detroit. Yeah, you play a team that's out of the race. They're you know, that spoiler role, you know, you have nothing to lose. The team plays loose, you know, and it's not always the best situation to be in. You know, I think that the Flyers, they have to take care of business this week and try to work themselves ahead again of Columbus. If the Flyers are ahead of Columbus, and also, listen, I mean, the Devils deserve huge credit because they just came through a seven-game stretch where everyone, myself included, was figuring they're going to be lucky to win two games out of these seven, and right. So they won five. You know, the Devils are still right there too. If the Flyers don't take care of their, you know, of their own business this week, I think staying ahead of Columbus is the goal here, because then you take Florida out of the mix because they're not a Metro team. So if you finish in one of those top three spots, then you don't have to worry about wild card competition. And then the chips will fall where they may. If the Flyers end up in the first round matchup with the Penguins, well, if you run them in the first round or the second round, you know they're in front of you at some point. You have to beat them anyway. I think that the objective is always finish as high as you can, and you play who you play. I think that if the Flyers can do well in this back to back here, then you're looking at the Boston game, as you said. Then the final week of the season, you know, if you play those games the way you should, like the game against the Rangers, it wasn't necessarily the Flyers' best game, but the Flyers never trailed in it. They either led or were tied that whole game. You know, if the Flyers can just step up in those games, they'll be fine. It's really hard to say because you look at a matchup on paper. You know, I thought, okay, well, Dallas is going to win that Vancouver game again, heading into the Flyers game, and they played maybe their worst game of the season. So, you know, you can never look past the matchup. I think especially right now you have to go in that game-to-game-to-game scenario and then reassess after each game.
Obviously, the Flyers have gotten lots of contribution from a lot of the usual suspects. Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek are among the league's leading scorers, and Claude's getting really close here to a career high. Jake has passed his. When you look back past that group of people, who do you think are the keys to the Flyers having a successful second in the last weeks here of the season? Who needs to really come out and have a good run here to help this team along.
I think that, and we've seen a lot of these guys stepping up down the stretch in the second half. I think the continued contributions of the young players, you know, the Nolan Patricks, the Oscar Lindbloms, the Travis Sanheims, of course, Travis Konecny as well up on the top line. I think that's where the depth of being a dangerous team comes from, having a threat beyond the first blue line pairing, rather getting the second power play unit going a little bit, you know, being able to roll out at least three lines that are able to match up with other teams. You know, that's the key to continuing to win. I mean, when the Flyers went through that long stretch from the middle of December until the end of February, they were getting contributions from up and down the lineup, and we've continued to see some of the young guys step up. So I think, you know, I think putting that all together at the same time, getting different lines going at once is crucial. And, you know, it also comes back again to the goaltending as well. The Flyers goalies have to make the saves that they need. If they get those things, they'll be fine.
Well, we'll see what comes the Flyers' way here over this this little road trip that they're on. And then the final three-game break of the regular season anyway. They'll play four more regular season games and then probably another three- or four-day break before a playoff spot playoff series will start up, provided everything goes well for this club. Moving on to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, things are much more comfortable for them. They have already clinched a playoff spot, and there's still 3 weeks left in the American Hockey League season. The Phantoms have an 8-point lead on the next closest team in their division and are second overall in the Eastern Conference. They did have a couple bumps in the road against Providence this weekend, but I got to wonder if that might just be a complacency letdown, given the fact that everything was recently wrapped up for that team. But tell us what's going on with the Phantoms and what they have to look forward to here over the rest of their season.
Yeah, Friday's game in Providence, that was a real seesaw kind of game. You know, getting a point out of that was big. The Phantoms kept falling behind by a goal, pushing back and tying it, and then you know, they clinched the playoff spot, as you said, with 1 point in that game. Saturday's game was one of the lackluster games the Phantoms have played all season. That's not the Phantoms. You know, they're usually much more tenacious than they looked in that game. Maybe, you know, maybe there was a little carryover effect from the night before. The legs just weren't there. You know, they're still well situated to win the division. You know, they've really held in well with guys being called up to the NHL. Anthony Stolarz just came back and got in the game. Finally, he had put in some rehab starts with Reading, and now he's available again for the Phantoms. The Phantoms, you know, they've been getting contributions from around the lineup. It's been a lot of the veterans, but also Mikhail Vorobyev has really come on nicely. He's producing a lot of points. Nicholas Abe-Kubel is coming off of a second suspension from the AHL. He was tagged for two games again on another hit to the head play. I mean, that needs to stop. When he's been available for the team, he's been really, really good this season. He's taken a big step forward. If you look at that lineup, they have, you know, they have a lot of depth in that lineup, a lot of veteran depth, but also some good young players. You know, it's been a while now that Philippe Myers has been able to stay healthy, and Philippe has shown, you know, he has shown he's a pretty exciting prospect. You know, talk about NHL futures after the season, competing for an NHL job at some point. But, you know, but I think he's had a lot of valuable rookie learning experiences. I think for the most part, he's come along very nicely. And like I said, you know, you have the Brennans and the Veronis and the Connors and all those guys who've been through the wars before. You know, I think the Phantoms shape up very well for a deep run once the Calder Cup playoffs start.
Well, a little bit of a lull here now between now and the end of their season. Again, their season ends a week after the NHL season does, so hopefully they can stay healthy and you know, get maybe rest up some guys here headed into the Calder Cup playoffs here in a couple of weeks. As for the other levels of hockey, the postseasons are fully underway in the amateur ranks, and especially in the NCAA, the Flyers have some some folks still active in the Frozen Four, a couple of guys that are going to be playing for a championship here this weekend.
They are. Tanner Leshinsky of Ohio State has had a tremendous tournament for Ohio State, and really a great season overall. He had a really nice play on the third goal that Ohio State scored in Sunday's regional final. He knocked the guy off the puck in the defensive zone, took the puck the other way, and set up a beautiful backdoor goal on the other side, which shows a lot of the two-way game that he brings. And he's an exciting young prospect. Not a guy whose name maybe gets mentioned up there with the Morgan Frosts and the Isaac Radcliffes, but he's a guy who has a future ahead of him. He's been a key guy for a good Ohio State team and a very structured kind of almost NHL-like system that they play. So I think that he's a guy who's benefited from his collegiate experience, played in the World Junior Championships a year ago, and he's a guy definitely to watch as they move into the Frozen Four. Also, Brendan Warren, a guy that the Flyers acquired from Arizona in the trade that sent Nick Cousins right before the expansion draft, he scored a goal also in the other game. Now Brendan is more of a bottom six forward. Skates well, defensively sound. He'll be out against he's a guy who'll see time against other teams' best lines. And he'll kill some penalties. If you get a goal, a couple goals out of him, that's a bonus. But he's a nice, solid player. And of course, now former Flyers prospect Cooper Marody, whose rights were just traded to Edmonton, is also in Michigan as well.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to mention. Since we've had our last podcast, that trade went down, and it was part of a kind of a flurry of activity over the course of the week, where the Flyers signed a couple of their draft picks. From recent years, a couple of fourth rounders from this past season in Maxim Shusko and Matthew Strome. And then 2 days later, Cooper Marody heads to Edmonton. What were your thoughts on that trade? Is it just a matter of, you can only have so many forward prospects in the system? And, if you're going to, you either got to sign them or lose them, I think, in the upcoming draft, I don't know if you'd call it due to riches on the Flyers' behalf or what, but at the very least, they're able to get a better draft pick out of it and position for the future.
Exactly. I mean, Cooper was a sixth round pick. Flyers got a third round pick in return from Edmonton. There's a lot of depth in the system. Cooper is he's a skilled center, one of the better playmakers in the NCAA. His skill set is such where he's one of those guys who's hard to peg as to whether he's going to be, only, and I put only in quotes because you have to be a real good player to be this, whether he's only going to be a good AHL offensive guy or he's a guy who might be able to find a role in the NHL. If you remember some years ago, the Flyers had a prospect by the name of Ryan Petulny, and Ryan dominated college hockey, very good in the AHL too, and then he had trouble sticking in the NHL. Maybe a stride slow, maybe not, his game wasn't quite complete enough, but he's had a nice career. He put in he put in time in the NHL. You have to be a very good player to do that, and I think that the Flyers farm system was not as deep as it is. He's the guy you hold on to and you hope develops, but when you have the Morgan Frost and the German Rubtsovs and the Vorobyev on the Phantoms, all of a sudden a guy like Cooper Marody moves down the depth chart. He may have gone back for his senior year to Michigan next season. He's a junior now, and if he goes back then if you don't sign him by August 15th, then all of a sudden he could choose free agency and sign wherever. So I think it just worked out to a numbers game, and you got a higher round pick than he was originally picked, and then you can maybe a year from now you get a quality player in the third round and hope to develop him. I mean, that's part of drafting and development, is you try to stagger players' arrivals and you assess where they fall in the depth chart as some of these guys get close. So hopefully for Cooper's sake, there's a fit for him in the Edmonton system if they sign him this year. If not, have a good senior year and parlay that into an NHL contract. But I really think that, it was just an embarrassment of riches for the Flyers in terms of what they have at the position. And don't forget, you know, Nolan Patrick is just a rookie, and you know, Frost is knocking on the doorstep and all those kind of things. Sean Couturier is still young, so there wasn't necessarily the opportunity for him. But it's that doesn't mean he's not a good player, because he is.
Yeah, you got German Rubsoff out there as well, and whoever else might be coming down the pipeline. So, you know, good problems to have there. But, again, they're able to turn that into a pick that's three rounds higher than it originally was. So a good thing there for the Flyers. Speaking of Rubsoff and the junior players, those postseasons are well underway also. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the Canadian junior world and the Flyers prospects there.
Sure. We'll start as we often seem to with Morgan Frost and Carter Hart. Everett is tied 1-1 in their series. They Cardinal gave one goal in the first game. Second game was a high-scoring affair, and they lost that one in overtime 5-4, so that series is tied one game apiece. The Sioux Greyhounds, who are the favorite to win the Ontario Hockey League Championship, maybe go all the way and win the Memorial Cup, they've had no problem so far with Saginaw in the first two games. And yesterday's game ended about the time the Flyers game, began about the time the Flyers game in Pittsburgh ended. And by the time the game was 7 minutes old, Frost had already scored twice. They went on, they won, I believe it was 8-0. He had an assist later on in the third period. So he's just continued doing what he's done and what he did in the regular season when he had 112 points. Just a highly skilled prospect, and his whole line with Boris Kachuk and Taylor Radish is one of the most dominant lines in junior hockey, and Saginaw has no answers for that line. Hard to see that changing with the venue changing to Saginaw. Actually, game three is tonight. It's an unusually quick turnaround. So we'll see where it goes with that. You mentioned that Matthew Strom recently signed an entry-level contract. He's had a good start to the series for the Hamilton Bulldogs against Ottawa, although that series is tied 1-1. But Strom had a tremendous game one and a solid game two. And then you actually have a series with Kitchener playing against Guelph, and that's the only series at this point that's two Flyers prospects against one another. Connor Bonneman is on Kitchener, and Isaac Ratcliffe is on Guelph. Kitchener's won both games so far, and they seem to be, you know, handily in control of that series. Although Ratcliffe scored in the first game, so if that's going to start turning around for the Storm, it has to in Game Three. Otherwise, that's going to be a 4 or 5 game series, though.
We'll wait and see how all that shakes out in terms of the upcoming rounds and things like that. Is there any of those guys on track to advance perhaps to the Phantoms after the season's over, or are we talking about guys here that are going to be probably sticking there for the long term and have other seasons left?
Well, I think that. Yeah, I mean, of course, they can always sign an amateur contract and be with the Phantoms at the end of the season. Ratcliffe is a guy I'd be interested to see. You know, I don't know if he'd get any games or not, but I think Guelph is going to be out pretty quickly. And, I think the other guys in the other series, and I didn't mention Pascal Laberge or Rubsov in the Quebec League, I think those guys are going to be playing at least another round beyond. It's going to be hard if they're not in any practices or available for games with the Phantoms before they're done their regular season. So, you know, Ratcliffe is a guy I could see at least joining the team, getting in some practices. Last year, Mark Friedman got into one game at the end of the regular season, but usually those guys are just there to practice and learn with the team. It's not a situation very often you have like Mike Richards and Jeff Carter back in the day, who can step in the playoffs and be impact players, you know, in the American League, you know, right off the bat. But I do think that there will be some guys joining the team once their seasons are over, but I don't expect them necessarily to play much.
And finally, take us through what's new with the Flyers alumni. The Charity Classic, believe it or not, is only a few months away. It doesn't feel like it now, but before we know it, it'll be mid-July, and that'll be coming up. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with the alumni in that event.
Yeah, this year there are three teams that are captained by the alumni. We'll start with the Flyers alumni team, which Paul Holmgren is captaining. And that one so far already has, I believe, about 18 or 20 Flyers alumni on it, and there'll be a lot more before the event actually happens. But it's pretty cool because if you sign up as a member of the Flyers alumni team, whichever event that you choose to do, whether it's the one of the bike ride distances or it's the 5K run or walk, not only can you walk or ride alongside, you know, alongside Flyers alumni, but after the event, there's a lot of opportunity to interact with the alumni guys on the team, because this year there are staggered starting times, so everyone should be finishing about the same time. So, you know, either before the event or afterwards, there's a lot of opportunity to just hang out with these guys. You know, they're so fan friendly, and there's a lot of the big names on the alumni are there. Bob Clark is there, Bernie Perrant's on the alumni team. I said Paul Holmgren is captaining it. Ian LaPerriere is on the team. Riley Cote, Danny Briere, Terry Karkner. You know, about 15, 16 other guys. And Joe Watson is there, Bob Kelly. So, you know, by the end, that'll be a very long list. So there's the opportunity to, you know, for fans to sign up and walk, ride, or run alongside the alumni guys. There's also Brad Marsh's team called the Ides of Marsh. And last year, Brad's team, and actually both Brian and I were on Brad's team last year. Brad's team was the largest team and the biggest fundraiser a year ago. Brad, of course, is an avid bike rider. And so, you know, Brad's team is back again this year. A lot of members of Brad's family will be on his team, and you know, it'll be a great time there. I'll probably be competing again on Brad's team again this year. And there's also Brian Propp has a team this year. This last year, Brian lent his name to the event, but a conflict of schedules meant he wasn't actually available for day of. But Brian will be there this year, and his team will be called Proper Guffaw. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunity to join up one of those three teams: Flyers alumni, Ides of Marsh, or Brian Propp's team. But whether you join that team or another team, it's a great day to come out, and you'll see the alumni around during the day, and they're great about taking photos, signing autographs, or what have you. So it'll be, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. That's definitely one of the highlights of the summer for sure.
All right, well, that's about all the time we have here on this edition of Flyer Buzz. Bill, thanks again for joining us and taking some time, and I guess we'll do this again in about a week. We'll have perhaps a clearer picture. I hopefully have a clearer picture of the Flyers playoff situation headed into what will be the final three games of the year, and then we get to the most wonderful time of the year, and hopefully a playoff berth for this team, and, you know, again, all these young guys just keep on going, and we'll see what they can't do here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, as Gene Hart always called the playoffs, exquisite torture. It's fun, and it's fun, and it's nerve-wracking every single day. So hopefully next time we're talking about playoff scenarios.
All right, folks, we appreciate you joining us here on Flyers Radio 24/7. Stay on after the show, so ever check out what we have coming up later on here. This is a 24-hour station, so there's stuff here all the time, Flyers games or not. You know, just hang out and check out the station sometime. Tell us what you think. You can follow us on Twitter at Flyers Radio 24/7. And stay tuned for a few announcements coming up regarding the station. We're going to be partnering up with some folks with the league level to get this station out there and perhaps make it an easier experience for you to listen to, more enjoyable. So that is all coming up as well. But thanks again for joining us here on this episode of Flyers Radio 24/7. We'll talk to you next week.